Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. Quick shout out, Bruce Merrin, CelebritySpeakers.com. He represented Elvis Presley. His first sports representatives was Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali. The honor to be involved with him. We got a great doubleheader today. Monica Bryant, she's a cancer rights attorney, a speaker, author. She's the COO at Triage Cancer. She joins me along with Sonia Wasden. She's a mental health specialist, author, speaker, and for years was a sports mom. Then there'll be some Bob Guide to Wisdom, your emails. But first, Monica Bryant, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much for having me.
Monica, give us some background on yourself leading up to Triage Cancer.
So as you mentioned, I am a cancer rights attorney. And after law school, I spent some time working in Congress. When I moved to Chicago, I had a bit of a career shift, and I really felt like it was important for me to use my legal knowledge and my love of advocacy to help others. And so about 10 years ago, I co-founded a national nonprofit called Triage Cancer.
You know, the challenge, and for years on the Sports Doctor, when we've talked about with authors, with athletes, with parents, with coaches, the commonality of where some people would say, you know, there's probably not a family in the country that hasn't been touched in some way, shape, or form in all aspects of cancer and dealing with it. It seems that the pandemic has really dramatically increased the whole mental health challenge of all sorts of different sides of this. And including, you know, the legal side, including the insurance side. And so the Triage Cancer educational arm in all aspects, Monica?
Yeah. So our mission is to provide free education on the legal and practical issues that can arise after a serious medical diagnosis like cancer. And a lot of times people will say, well, wait a minute, what's legal about cancer? And the reality is most of our healthcare system is actually rooted in the law. So from what drugs someone might have access to what insurance companies are allowed to do, to what rights you have at work, all the way through to estate planning. And so at Triage Cancer, we feel very strongly about helping people with all the things that come up that doctors may not be addressing.
Oh, yeah, the whole insurance game. You know, everybody in medicine is very, very familiar with the insurance game and sometimes the next to impossible challenges when it comes to something that could be, lifetime expense oriented. And what are some of the educational points, again, that you find? I would imagine the fact that there's a whole legal side to it, insurance side. Again, whether you're somebody who's an employee, athletes who are on scholarship or quote-unquote student athletes, what are some of the really important points that you try to bring across when you're talking about the education of this whole topic?
Well, I will start off by saying that almost everything that we talk about at Triage Cancer is relevant to all of us. It's just that we happen to talk about it through the lens of cancer. And so even if you are, you know, your listeners are some of the lucky few that haven't been touched by cancer, they may still find value in some of the information we provide at Triage Cancer. And all of the resources I'm going to talk about are available on our website.
Yes, like you're talking about a serious diagnosis, a serious medical condition. The advice applies from A to Z, I would imagine. Again, when you're talking about trying to get through the labyrinth of something like that. So I would imagine that some of the advice, again, whether it's for parents, grandparents, whether it's for individuals, like you said, companies, schools, I would imagine this is another gigantic challenge.
Absolutely. And I would say that some of it even starts with prevention. And I know, you know, a lot of doctors will think of prevention as preventative medicine, but we think of prevention as things like making sure you have the right health insurance policy for you and your family. And I think that that is something, you know, we talk a lot about the cost of care in the United States. And some of that is about when people don't have adequate health insurance. Now, most of us are never taught how to pick a health insurance plan. Usually we have our parents' health insurance and then we become a certain age and maybe if we're lucky enough, we get a job that offers our health insurance and that's the health insurance we have, or maybe you get married. And so what we're really trying to do is educate people as consumers about how to pick the right health insurance policy for them so that they can access the care they need and hopefully avoid some of that financial ruin.
Yes, let alone you could watching television, if it's not an advertisement for drugs and if it's not an advertisement for a diet, then it absolutely is an advertisement, you know, for an insurance company. You know, that's to say the least. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years, international, national, local guests, endless array of topics, again, in sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. If you go over to newspaper articles, magazines, you'll read an array of all sorts of different articles from the exciting MVP Parent Magazine, Lower Extremity Review. And again, we have thousands and thousands of followers. We do a lot of educating on platforms. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at SportsDoc, DOC Radio, we're speaking with Monica Bryant. She is the COO at Triage Cancer. As a matter of fact, you're the co-author of maybe it was the first and only book on cancer rights law. Is that true, Monica?
That is true, the one and only. We literally wrote the book on cancer rights law.
What's the title?
It is called Cancer Rights Law. So we're lawyers. We're not all that creative.
Yes. What is the best website, Monica, that people could go to find out all about Triage Cancer?
It's simply triagecancer.org. And you'll find all of our free educational events, materials, and resources accessible there in English and in Spanish.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned something. Again, even though we're all deluged, you know, as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking about the Liberty commercials. You know, on television, you only get what you need, or you only pay for what you need. We're so mesmerized with this stuff. But, you know, you mentioned something. It's really a key, which is, you know, nobody or many of us are not educated on what makes sense regarding our individual selves, our families, our employers, et cetera. You know, this is no less a big deal in the gigantic world of sports, whether it's big-time college sports, you know, with student-athletes or as the professionals and some of the different challenges that they might face or that an organization might face. And I would imagine Triage, you said you're in what states is Triage in, Monica?
So we're a national nonprofit. We talk to people from all 50 states and provide education in all 50 states. I'm physically in Chicago, as you know, just down the road from you. But we welcome people to reach out from all over the country.
How do you find the cooperation you experience now as an attorney? There's always been a contest, you know, between the doctors on the left, the attorneys in the middle, and the insurance companies on the right. I always felt the insurance companies kind of won, but what's been the feedback you feel regarding progress? You've been involved in 10 years. between the medical community, the legal community, you know, your own community, you know, regarding the importance of this kind of information. How's that cooperation going, Monica?
You know, you hit the nail on the head. I think when people hear attorney, when, you know, I'm introduced at events to speak and I'm sitting on a panel with doctors, they always sort of look at me a little with a little bit of wary. But, you know, once they figure out what it is that we do and that really we are about education and we're about helping their patients and their patients' families access the care they need and get the support, whether it be in the employment arena or access medical decision-making documents or estate planning, you know, I think they start to sort of adjust to their thinking and recognize that we really are just part of the team that's here to help the cancer community. You know, the insurance companies, I think that's a mixed bag. You know, we definitely encourage the people that reach out to us who have received a claim denial, for example, you know, not to take no for an answer and that we have the right to appeal those denials. And so we, you know, we teach people how to do those appeals. So I'm not sure how the insurance companies feel about us, but at the end of the day, we're really just trying to make sure people can access the care that they need and make sure that they can do so while maintaining their jobs and their homes and their families and their financial health.
Yeah, that's why I always ask. You know, individuals who are in the mixture of these kinds of topics, to say the least, I have to ask, of course, you know, how your psychology skills are when you're dealing with all these different entities, let alone, again, families and organizations that are in this tremendous stress and duress. You know, it's such a mental game.
It really is, and I have to say that, you know, one of the audiences that we do a lot of training for are social workers, and I have learned so much from social workers over the years about, you know, how to compartmentalize and engage in self-care and avoid burnout. But at the end of the day, I will tell you that doing this work is incredibly rewarding. Helping people who are sometimes in the darkest place of their lives come out of that dark place, even in just a slight way, is very, very rewarding.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And I'm sure you must have a team of individuals or others, you know, whether in the medical field and again, in the psychology field, all of these other fields that you can recommend. For example, when you're talking and educating organizations or individuals or families regarding who to turn to, you must have individuals and groups that you consider solid referrals all over the country.
Absolutely. And so oftentimes people will reach out to us via, we have a legal and financial navigation program where people can reach out to us and we'll hear about their situation and give them the information about relevant laws or programs that are applicable to their situation. And then sometimes it is about referrals. And so we have a very strong partnership network with that within the cancer community. So if people are looking for psychosocial care or disease-specific support, we can refer out to those groups that we partner with. But certainly we do try to give people the answers that they need so that they can self-advocate.
Well, again, it's like we talked about when we were talking about having you on the show. Some people might say, gee, a sports show. What does that have to do with, you know, with cancer? And, you know, you mentioned the word prevention, which is a gigantic word in all areas, whether it's youth sports or senior citizen sports. But again, the first sentence we mentioned, which coaches, players, families, teams, organizations, all have been touched by the challenges of cancer in all aspects. And this is why I really, really felt that it was so important to include your expertise and that, you know, people can understand at all of these different levels, because again, there's not a group that's not left out when it comes to what you're educating the population about, is there?
It's an unfortunate truth. So about 15,000 children get diagnosed with cancer in this country every single month, or every single year, excuse me, and about 90,000 adolescents and young adults get diagnosed with cancer. So there sometimes is a misperception that cancer is only something that impacts older generations, and that's just not the case.
Oh, yeah, I'm a proud contributor and member of St. Jude's. I've got my T-shirt Save Lives. We're talking about that's children's wonderful. Cancer. And again, all these wonderful organizations. But again, you know, I think the idea that there are groups like Triage that really can set a roadmap for families or groups or corporations regarding, you know, where do I start? Where do I look? Mm-hmm. And how do I fit these things in? And it would be great if people paid much more attention, again, to, like you mentioned, the education of, you know, what are some of the different insurance world that they have to pay attention to. But it seems like we're making progress in all of these areas, thanks to organizations like yours, Monica.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I appreciate the opportunity to get to tell a whole new audience about the work that we're doing. And while I certainly hope they don't need us, if they ever do, we are available.
Well, again, I think, you know, the idea of the educational side of things, you'd think that in some way, shape, or form, you know, schools would also be involved with organizations that help educate families about so much of this endless topic. I want to thank you so much, Monica Bryant. She is the COO at Triage Cancer. Give me quickly again the site, Monica.
It is triagecancer.org.
TRIAGECancer.org. Okay.
That's correct.
Thank you so much for joining us. Monica, hold on. Everybody will be right back. Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness. We want to welcome Sonia Watson. She is a mental health specialist, author, speaker, sports mom to the Sports Doctor. Sonia, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you.
You know, we pay so much attention. I call it the mental game, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their parents, whether you're their coach, whether you're the team, the teammates. Such a big deal about mental health. I know you've probably spent maybe 30 years managing the whole world of mental health besides being a sports mom. Give us some background on yourself and the mental health dash sports mom side.
Well, I have 30 years of lived experience with mental health challenges. And my sons, growing up, played tennis competitively. And I was able to help them a lot with their mental game because of a lot of the skills and therapy that I was getting for my mental health disorders. And I think sometimes, especially kids nowadays, after the pandemic and everything, their mental health is on the rise. And
oh, 60 Minutes. Just there was this feature story on 60 Minutes this past week, which is everything from suicide on down, this monster of mental health challenges that the pandemic has wreaked on everybody. Just yesterday, the day before, the U.S. Open tennis tournament, all that hoopla, talking extensively about the value that sports psychology has lent to all the players. You might have been a trendsetter, Sonia.
Oh, I don't know about that. But what you said is so true that depression is now recognized as a leading cause of illness and disability among children and adolescents. It's always been true, even before COVID. But now it is recognized as a leading cause of illness. And especially
well, that's a big
deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. And I think we've also got to recognize that kids playing sports have that added pressure, right?
Late, great Dr. Jim Vickery, sports psychologist for Northwestern, for sports teams, didn't even in the 80s, early 90s, didn't even use the word psychology. Everybody was scared of it. He was a performance enhancement consultant because nobody,
right.
Hey, what do you think? There's something wrong with us? When it came to that, yet it's amazing. You know, I specialize in the world of figure skating and sports podiatry, and my 2010 gold medalist, Devin Lysacek, was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skate. For years, they would talk about in the world of figure skating, visualization and these other, you know, mental preparations. I thought they were ahead of the game in so many ways. But from Michael Phelps and the world of swimming, the biggest gold medal winner of them all, to Simone Biles, their admission and discussion of mental health and the challenges and, you know, it's okay to be not okay, has really, really exploded your field dramatically in the world of sports, at least.
Oh, for sure. And those great athletes leading the way. I mean, they've just joined the choir of mental health advocacy, which is so important for athletes. Because like you said, not only are they having to do visualization and all these things, my sons did that. I would have them lay down and they would visualize, and that's so powerful. But even more to let them set the example of it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to pull back and maybe take a rest from your sports to take care of your mental health. They're leading the example of putting their mental health at the forefront, which really you need to do that to be a great athlete. Because if you put the sport ahead of your mental health, you won't be as good as an athlete.
You know, one of the reasons, Sonia, I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic in capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. And this was one of these, again, these explosions, the whole mental side, the ranting, raving parent on the sidelines, the tremendous pressure to win, play hurt, take drugs, medicines, so that you could stay in the game. And this has become such a tremendous challenge. Again, it was all multiplied by the aspects of the pandemic. And Dr. Vickery, he used to say to sports parents, I'd drag them along to the Met lectures we would do. I'd be talking about what's the best shoe and when to use ice. And he would be talking to parents about, you know, hey, he'd say, don't be a critic with your son or daughter who's an athlete. How did you do on that side of things with your son?
I think I sometimes did well and I sometimes didn't. I mean, I think it's really tough as a parent because you want your children to grow and to learn. And so sometimes, you've got to step back and let them fail, like with, you know, what he said without being a critique. But we want to go in and give them our life experience and our input and critique, right, when they fall down of, hey, this is how you not fall down. But sometimes, you know, we've got to let them fall down and maybe ask them more the question of, what have you learned from this? What are your thoughts on this? Instead of us telling them, maybe ask them the questions and let's hear what the kids are saying instead of us trying to critique or, you know, have the conversation go with what we think. Ask what they think.
You know, it was Dr. Vickery's second point. Don't be a critic, he said, for, you know, sports parents and coaches. Be a good listener. I think that's what you're saying.
Yes. Very, very key is to not only listen to your children, but to validate their feelings, validate where they're coming from, and show them some empathy of, you know, when they express their feelings, say, that is hard, or I could see how you are feeling this way. I think it's important that they need to be validated, heard, and seen.
Do you find that the school community, for example, has really been able to grow into the importance of the mental health side of things in school, again, sports or non-sports alike, or are we still way behind in trying to pay the kind of attention that this really, really needs?
Well, I think you see we're in a crisis. Okay, we're in a crisis right now with our youth and their mental health. So I think they're trying and they're making efforts now, but it's an uphill battle and they've got to, you know, figure out how to do more, implement more programs, and we need to support these youth in their mental health and give them skills and teach them how to have good mental health. And so I think that they're really trying. I applaud their effort. I think they would admit they know they have more to do. But yeah, we, you know, it's gotten to a crisis point for sure.
It's no different physically. You know, when you have Tommy John surgery on 14-year-old pitchers and all sorts of overuse problems from just too much, too aggressive schedules, too much pressure on these kids. In order to win. Don't you understand if my daughter doesn't take two Advil twice a day, her ankles are killing her and then she's, you know, she can't play and all of this, this tremendous, I call it all this overkill in youth sports. Again, like you said, in a crisis, yeah, at best probably we're treading water, on the physical side, you know, and what are some of the important bullet points, that you stress, whether it was a parent yourself or parents of youth athletes in schools?
You know, I think what you said, and I'm going to just come out and say it, I was one of those making the mistake. I overtrained my kids. My son had to have surgery on his shoulder. And, you know, at such a young age, it's just unfortunate. And I think that us as parents, that we've got to look at their physical bodies, their mental development, and not expect it to be an adult where we are at. They're learning how to deal with their emotions. They're learning how to manage, you know, relationships, emotions, self-talk. and they're trying to strive in their sports and in their schoolwork, there's a lot of pressure. And I think us as parents, we need to help relieve that pressure, take some of the pressure off, teach them how to hold some of these things a little more gently and not so pressured.
You know, it's interesting, Sonia. Again, over the years, we paid such a big deal to the communication with the parents and coaches, the communication with parents and their children, the expectations, whose goal is it, again, with these kinds of pressures. Again, you know, shoulder surgery, tennis, you know, these repetitive motion injuries, swinging the racket 1,000 times a week, give or take a few. And the philosophy, again, in youth sports for years, again, in all sports, which is more is better. No pain, no gain.
And right.
This is still a real challenge that we have in the world of youth sports. And again, this is the point. It is as much mentally, in many instances, with all of these pressures, as it is, you know, physically. You know, when you watch the Olympics and there's a 16-year-old competing, you know, they started when they were like 6 or 7. How old were your boys when they started playing tennis, you know, often and seriously?
Okay, yeah. My youngest son was 7. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Young.
And again, there's nothing wrong with these kinds. You know, I have a chapter in my book. It's called The Prodigy Sports. You know, we would love all kids to play different sports, use different parts of the body, different challenges, different teammates. That's great unless you're a gymnast, you know, or a figure skater or a tennis player, where the challenge then becomes, you don't understand, Dr. Weil. That's all he wants to do. He's 12 years old. He doesn't want to play anything else but tennis or soccer and these kinds of challenges. So this is, again, where many times you run into these repetitive motion and overuse concerns. And, you know, the once you start hitting the traveling teams and some of the club teams, where, again, you've got this, I call them these Svengali coaches, you know, where, again, there's just so much pressure, you know, put on these kids. And one of the points we make a big deal of on the Sports Doctor is you could train for this by enhancing awareness and educating the parents and kids about the importance of the mental side, right? There are things that you can do, you know, rest and recovery is such a big topic, and you must pay big attention to that side.
For sure. I think, you know, everyone, even adults, older people, younger people, I think what you said is rest and recovery. We all need that. Even if we're not athletes, we need that. If you're working in your job, you need rest and recovery just like an athlete does.
Yeah, we want to talk more about that, Sonia. We're going to be on our next segment. Really want to talk more about this. Again, that education side and the adults is important. Talking with Sonia Wasden, mental health specialist. It's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. We're talking the mental game. We're talking with Sonia Wasden, mental health specialist, author, speaker, sports mom. And I wanted to ask you about your book, Sonia, An Impossible Life. Tell us about what you're featuring.
I'm featuring my mental health journey. So I'm a suicide survivor. I have the bipolar, obsessive compulsive, and anxiety disorder. And so I am sharing my personal journey through my mental health challenges, how it affected me, my marriage, my children, motherhood, and friends, and how I got through it and overcame it all to come to the place I am today. You know, a lot of people with mental health challenges, even for their children, they're difficult, but they feel hopeless. They feel like it's never going to get better, or I try this and I try that. Nothing is working. And I want to provide people hope to see, you know, I blow open the doors. I share the raw, unvarnished truth of our family struggling with mental health challenges and how we got through it, how we found life-saving therapy, dialectical behavior therapy, medicine made a huge difference. And, you know, how what things we found that worked for us, and maybe, you know, that therapy may work for some, maybe not, but maybe will inspire them to look at different therapy. And I just think that it's so important that they realize mental health is a journey, and that you are learn how to grow with it and get better to manage it and skillfully, just like a sport, right? You're not instantly good at tennis. It takes practice. And so I think we need to use some of the sports psychology in our mental health and saying we need to practice good mental health. We need to overcome and rise above some of our mental health struggles, just like you do in sports.
You know, it's amazing, again, Sonia, that wherever I have guests on, wherever they're from internationally, whatever their vocation, whatever their specialty, again, over the past few years, all have talked about the number one issue being the mental health challenges and crisis that were tripled and quadrupled with the whole pandemic and its effect. But the challenges, again, just last week, 60 Minutes, talking about, again, these young kids and the topic of suicide and suicide prevention, the awareness of journeys like yours and how so many people around you might have been involved and in concerned. Again, evidently, in the middle of all of it, you were a sports mom. And again, with these kinds of challenges. So I would imagine that, again, as an educator, and all of these years later, how long has the book been out?
It's been out since 2019. It's the Eric Hoffer Grand Prize winner of 2022. So we're super excited. You know, it's great. We get lots of emails of people thanking us, you know, for our family being so vulnerable and sharing our journey. And our whole point is to try to inspire, help, encourage, and just give hope to people out there. Because sometimes those mental health challenges with your children, with yourself, because even as a parent, you may be having mental health challenges along with your child. And so, you know, we want to provide some hope and encouragement.
Is there a site, a website with your information and with the book information people can go to?
Yeah, they can buy the book on Amazon. They can go to soniawasden.com, SONJAWASDEN.com. And they can see all the information about us, our TV interviews, articles about the books, and just learn more about us, and hopefully we can help and inspire others.
You know, I'm a sports doctor. I talk all the time about what I call, Sonia, the new medicine, quote unquote. The new medicine being, number one, eat smarter. Number two, keep moving. And number three, reduce stress. This whole, and the tremendous emphasis, again, on rest and recovery, and this, you know, this pressure-packed society that we're all in the middle of. And I think that, again, like you're talking about with your journey, your family's journey, on the side of trying to prevent problems mentally, and then, you know, trying to deal with them. In your experience over these years, do you find, again, that medicine in the schools, organizations, companies are making progress? It seems that we really are.
Oh, I believe we
are.
Even though
it's still, yes, a mess.
Yes. And we've got to stay encouraged and not just say, yeah, everything's going, you know, hell in the handbasket. We've got to stay encouraged. I think there are so many good people, famous people, doctors, teachers, everyday people out there battling the battle, joining the mental health advocacy choir, and really trying to pull together to make a difference. And I do think that things are better. I do.
You know, one of my guests from a few weeks ago, again, from the National Publicity Summit, where you and I met, a specialist on bullying, and one of her books and articles are called Celebrities and Bullying. And it's amazing. And what it was stories of all these celebrities, sports stars, superstars, all talking about how they were affected by, challenged by, made miserable by bullying and that whole side of things, and how and what they did to try to overcome it. And again, all this still falls right smack in the lap, again, of the mental health. I would imagine, again, in your experience, you know, something, again, like bullying, whatever, it's a nightmare for so many kids.
Right. It is such a nightmare for so many kids. And that's where, you know, you've just got to really have the kids talk about, you know, their experiences. And it's so critical that, you know, we create safe, inclusive conversations so the kids can feel open to share if they're being bullied. My niece was being bullied and didn't tell her parents, but told a cousin, and her parents became aware of this, and they're like, that's bullying. And she's like, it is? So we need to explain to the children and teenagers, this is what bullying is. So when they're getting bullied, they can recognize they're getting bullied.
Yeah, marginalized groups. You know, a guest a couple of weeks ago, again, from the summit, expertise in adoption, parents and children. And I was amazed when she talked about how, again, some of her adopted children were bullied. You know,
right.
Who's your real mother? And all of these other kinds of challenges. And I think that, you know, sometimes we don't realize how this gets in the way. Again, whether it's teammates or whether it's schoolmates, whether it's associates in business, understanding, you know, what a big deal this is. And do you find that the pediatric community also is paying much more attention to the whole world of mental health?
Oh, absolutely. Doctors care so much. I mean, they're doing their best. I mean, a lot of them are just, you know, we don't have enough psychiatrists. We don't have enough therapists. There's a shortage. And so a lot of these pediatric doctors, internal medicine doctors, they're having to take care of a lot of the mental health challenges. And I'm telling you, you know, they're putting their heart, their soul, their work out there. And, you know, it's stressful for them. Because there's such a
shortage. How about the social worker community? You would think, again, when we've had some of these people out in the past, they've been in the middle of this forever.
Oh my God.
You know, the challenges of, you know, again, the sports family or the relationships and the single family, single parent families and all of these things that would go into these mental health challenges, but that's again was the profession that was just in the middle of all of this.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, God bless their souls. They are doing such important work.
You know, you find again that the idea that awareness and education so important when you're dealing with these. It's great that you were able to join us again. The name of the book is An Impossible Life. They could find it on Amazon. Sonia Wasden, again, a mental health specialist, author, speaker, sports mom. I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for what you're doing. You're impacting society, parents, you know, kids, getting it out there.
Thank you. Hold on, Sonia. We're going to be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Flattery will get you everywhere. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. This is the Sports Doctors In segment where we preview some upcoming guests. We add a little Bob Guide of Wisdom. We answer a few emails. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you go back years, endless array of shows. The current archives are now available at bbsradio.com/the sports doctor, because on the site it's being updated. The shows after July aren't included. We've got some great guests coming up, returning next week. Steve Thurston. Steve is now the CEO of Edwards Elmhurst Fitness. Steve was the program director, and it's been on numerous times. It'd be great to have him back. Then the speed doctor, a Canadian Olympic gold medalist, Robert Esme, will be returning. We just joined his clinique, a group of experts, so it'll be great to have him back. Following week, one of our faves, Lou Vickery, the former Yankee and Cardinal pitcher. Lou had a radio show called Lou in the Morning. He's written 15 books. And for about 3 years, once a month, I'd come on. The Sports Doctor is in. We had some great conversations. Look forward to having him back. On the 28th, the team neurosurgeon of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Dr. Mooney, will be joining us. talk about the whole history of concussions in the world of football. Great stuff. Bob Guide of Wisdom. You know, Bob wrote about, coined PHA, peripheral heart action. In English, it was the fact of aerobic capacity advantages in our system, even lifting weights. Lifting weights, weight exercise was always considered an anaerobic activity, aerobic activity, running, walking, rhythmic activity. And Bob really was coined the whole concept that circuit training, if you did strength training, but you kept moving from one machine to another, for instance, do arm exercises, do leg exercises, do core exercises, that peripheral heart action, you were getting aerobic advantages. This was a topic that the famous Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was also the champion bodybuilder, you know, Guida was a Mr. America, Mr. Universe in the 60s, went on to become one of the world's prominent sports therapists. But this peripheral heart action, the fact that you really could get aerobic conditioning by moving, even lifting weights, was revolutionary. We've got some emails here. Ellen says, my 12-year-old daughter is a serious figure skater. She's been skating, gosh, for like 7-8 years. She's got these bumps on the inside of her arches. You know, we see those commonly, Ellen. There's a bone in the mid part of the foot. It's called the navicular, and sometimes the part of the navicular is prominent. Sometimes, again, it's susceptible to rubbing and irritation because we lock that foot in a figure skating boot, and any kind of motion can irritate an area. You want to make sure that you have the bootmaker punch out the area where the bumps are, and you really want to check with podiatry, ideally sports podiatry. I've been putting orthotics in skaters' skates for decades for this particular problem. Very successful at combination. Punching out the boot where the bump is, controlling that excessive motion, making sure the boot fits well, but looking seriously at orthotics. The real hidden gem is the same orthotics which will calm down this bump irritation will make your daughter a better skater. Optimum alignment, things like edging, speed, stability, balance all improve. So that's something she could be excited about. Frank says, my 14-year-old daughter has been playing volleyball three times a week. She's been dealing with what they call jumper's knee tendonitis. I wanted to know, were you a shoe recommendation? You know, Frank, foot mechanic recommendation is what we really want to be talking about, especially in girls. 50% of the young athletes, females I've seen over the decades, were knee trouble. They were overused tendonitis associated with, for example, excessively pronated or flat feet. Girls, especially as they're maturing, going through puberty, hips widen, the angle to the knee changes slightly, and we start to see all sorts of more stress to that area. Jumper's knee is not a medical term. In general, it means the kneecap tendon between the kneecap and the shin bone gets pulled and irritated constantly. Pay big attention that she's in the right shoe for her foot type, and see podiatry. Absolutely add proper orthotics is really going to make a big difference besides the physical therapy, other things that you're doing. You know, Gail had sent me an email, said, are you on the radio 40 years? Gail, yeah, give or take, yes. Started in Elmhurst, Illinois, again with my colleague Bob Guida. Steve Chase show once a week. I got enamored with the radio world. I've been doing it ever since. 20 years with the College of DuPage. Once a week on the Sports Doctor. 4 years, Healthy Life Radio. Now pushing 3 years with BBS Radio. We still like doing it. Live radio. Sometimes it's really a challenge. But on that note, we'll see you next week. It's the Sports Doctor. Thanks, everybody.